Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, your spot for the best mixed martial arts and professional sports entertainment information. Now, please welcome to the ring your host, Mark Bland, with Matt Kruger and Andy Eckel.
Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Bland.
And I don't have a microphone.
You don't have a microphone at all?
Nope.
You have
there
no microphone?
Go.
There it is.
Oh, I got one.
What's
I'm
your
Andy.
Name? Andy Eckel, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Matt Kruger should be joining us shortly. I heard you guys had some fun last week when I wasn't here, Andy.
Yeah, we had a little bit of fun. It wasn't too bad.
I heard that some punk named Kenny G, and we're not talking about the guy who blows flutes, though we are talking about somebody who blows.
Yeah, he does.
Came onto the radio show and decided that as a little bit of a jab, they were going to try to come after me, and I just happened to not be here last week. So I caught wind of this, of course, from my co-hosts Andy and Matt, and I decided to take care of business on my own regards, and we'll let you guys know about that later this week, probably on Wednesday. You can see what my response to that situation is.
Awesome, because I was doing everything in my power not to just beat him. Senseless.
Fair enough.
Couldn't do it.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, last night, Jake Shields defeated Robbie Lawler, and Andre Arlovski caught death from the Grim Rogers. Randy Orton prepares for a steel cage Extreme Rules match tonight at, well, you guessed it, WWE Extreme Rules. Kimbo Slice is now officially part of the new season of The Ultimate Fighter, and word is Rampage Jackson already wants to kill him. Mm-hmm. And we might be joined by some special telephone guests. Well, guess what? We are joined by some special telephone guests. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh off of his victory last night at Strikeforce, Mike, welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, sir. Mike, are you there?
Yeah. How you doing, man?
Oh, right. Man, we're doing great. How are you doing?
Just sitting here at the airport trying to get on a flight. Can't hear you so good, but how's everything going, brother?
Everything's going really great. Well, congratulations on your big win last night. Can you hear us?
Wait, hold on one second. Let me get a better location, bro. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're fine, man. Okay. That's understandable. You know, you can't control the whole airport. If you wanted to, you could start beating a bunch of people up if you wanted to. It might not work out to your advantage. But the ability is there. Obviously, you proved that last night.
Yeah.
And
a big win over Rafael Calavante.
Yeah, you know, I trained really hard for it. You know, I really actually just thank God for the opportunity I got. And, you know, I could have been a little bit more confident in me. But, you know, not fighting for 8 months, you know, I had to fill it out a little bit. And then, sure enough, I let loose with my hands and finished the fight.
Yeah. And now how short of notice did you get on this fight? Because he had Babalu originally slated, and then someone else also canceled out on him, too.
Yeah, it was maybe about almost two and a half weeks, maybe.
Not too bad.
I had an idea that I might get a call. But, you know, I stay training in the gym regardless. But, you know,
of course.
I've been waiting for my opportunity again. But, you know, coming off my first loss with Devin Cole, my fight elite, I didn't have a good showing. So it was important for me to come out and show what I can do.
Now, Mike, I have a quick question for you. What do you think is next on the plate for you? I mean, honestly.
You know, it's in God's hands. You know, I'm not in a big hurry to do anything. I know I just want to fight and make some money before this sport passes me by. You know, I'm starting to realize you can't do it forever. And I just really like to try to get going and make some decent money for the family and try to get something out of it. You know, I've been sacrificing 10 years of my life for it. And, you know, I don't got too much to show for it, you know. And, you know, I just want, like I said, get something out of it before it passes me by and just keep training and fighting, you know.
Now, you're on a 3-win streak so far. You got a win at IFC Caged Combat, obviously. Then you turned around after that, and you were able to get yourself a nice big victory at, oh, wow, great. Unbelievable. The 1 minute that I need to be able to get this guy's information, it just completely locks the computer up. I am so sorry about that. Anyway, you had a win right after a win after a Caged Combat, and then last night, the big victory for Strikeforce. Now, has Strikeforce, Michael Clark. That was the second guy that you had the big win over.
Yeah, Michael Clark.
Michael Clark, yes. And then, so my question for you is that Has Strike Force, you know, you obviously have been on the Strike Force card before when you fought Szczesny. Has Strike Force approached you at becoming like, you know, one of their main card fighters as far as like, you know, general card? Because
you're right. I think my next fight should be at least a TV fight again. Just to show you, all my fights are entertaining.
Yeah.
So it was just that one fight in my whole career that I didn't show up, you know, and that was coming off a 2-year wait list before that, you know. So I just wasn't in the right state of mind my first fight back, but now that I'm getting in there and I'm getting in there getting some rest off, you know, I step up my game. You know, I was a little disappointed. I thought I should have pushed the pace last night, but like I said, I decided to fill it out a little bit. I knew I was going to land it. I was confident in the win. I knew that he was a tough guy, and he comes from a great, great camp. You know, but I had the confidence, and I really knew I was going to win. A lot of people didn't think I was going to win. I was like, you know, I knew I was. You know, I really did.
Yeah. You know? Now, let me ask you a question, Mike. When you hit Rafael with the right and you knocked him down, it kind of looked like you might have had a little bit of hesitation in going in and really finishing him off, because it looked like to me and a lot of other people that I talked to and a lot of other fans that I talked to that he was out. As soon as you hit him with that and he went down, it looked like he was out. And he was laid out. He was done for about 5 minutes. He was on the mat for about 5 minutes. So you obviously knocked him clean out. Was it the right that you landed before that, or was it some of the ground and pound that you did after the right?
It was the right hand that landed. That really, I think, stunned him. But when he went down, I thought he was trying to bait me in. So, you know, I really did. I thought he was trying to bait me in or something for some reason. That's why I hesitated. And then because if he was knocked out, I thought the ref would have jumped in right away. So I was waiting. And then, you know, I just didn't want to jump down, because sometimes you jump down on him, you hit him again and wake him up.
Yeah.
You know? So I was waiting to see if he was going to get up. You know, if they would have stood him up. If not, I wouldn't have finished it, you know.
Well, you definitely finished it.
The idea was back away from those guys, back away, make them stand up, and then, you know, they'll normally stumble back down.
Yeah, well, you did finish it. You finished it in dramatic fashion. Like I said, I think in a lot of people's minds, that was pretty much the upset of the night. And I think he was pretty much the heavy favorite since he was supposed to be fighting Babalu for the title. So I can say this.
It would be really nice if I get a title shot. That'd be all my prayers answered, you know. But we'll see whatever Strike Force wants to do with me.
Hey, Mike.
You know, I think I proved myself. And,
hey, Mike,
I'm a force to be reckoned with, you know. So,
Mike, before we let you go, I've noticed that you fought quite a bit in the heavyweight division last night's match.
This is actually my first time cutting down to 205. You know, 2.5 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I was actually 240. I came in, so I mean, I got with Bobby Salver. He just told me how to diet right, and it was actually my first real cut. You know, and I actually felt great. It took me a second to get going. I started off a little slow. But as soon as I stood up and I started letting my hands go a little bit, it was like, then I started loosening up, throwing some combos, it felt like. You know, but I'm still criticizing myself. I got to watch the fight and see, you know. I just got to get home, watch the fight and see.
I had a quick question for you.
You're always hard on yourself a little bit, you know.
Hey.
Could have did.
Mike, what did you think about Andre Arlovsky getting knocked out by the Grim Rogers, considering that you fight at that level normally?
Wow, that was amazing. I was just screaming. Wow. I mean, wow, that was so unexpected. And I was cutting some weight with him, and I was like, you know, you have that chance, you know, put pressure on him and rush, you know. And even if not, you could tie him up in the cage and use your weight, make his tire out his arm, slow him down. And he just came at him. And it was like, oh, wow. To happen to catch him right on the chin, it was amazing.
Yeah.
No one expected that. Not in that fashion.
Well,
he's a big boy. He's a big, strong boy at Rogers.
Yeah.
He's strong, man.
Well, you had an impressive win last night. I think the entire card was great.
Yeah, that was, you know, but so they did a great, great card right there. That was a great card. I enjoyed fighting for that venue as well. Good time, man.
Yep. Well, listen, from all of us here at Absolute Wrestling Radio, good luck in everything that you do in the future. I'm looking forward to seeing your next competition, and hopefully it's going to turn out the same way like last night did.
Right on. I'd like to say thanks to a few guys, you know, especially my girl, and say thanks to Mike Lasquez, everyone at American Kickbox Academy, Javier Mendez, Crazy Bob Cook, you know, everyone else that supported me for the fight. And Devonta Ace makes toe-to-toe, and also hostility, and anybody else I'm leaving out there, thanks. But most of all, I say thanks to God. But thanks. All right. Have a good one, brother.
All right, thanks, man.
Take care of yourself,
Mike. Have a safe travel.
Hey, you guys shoot me an email. Am I off the air now?
No, you're not off the air right now. You're still on the air, but we can put you on hold if you want to put you on hold. And we'll put you on hold, and I'll have Andy get your email from you, okay?
Cool, thanks, bro.
Hey, no problem. So, ladies and gentlemen, there he was, Mike Kyle, fresh off of his win last night at Strikeforce here in St. Louis. Let's talk about Strikeforce. Shields was ruthless with his submission of Lawler. Arlovski suffers a grim reaper fate at Strikeforce here in St. Louis. Jake Shields looked uncomfortable in the center of the cage. Jake Shields looked to be too weak, too overpowered to wrestle Robbie Lawler to the mat. Then in a flash, out of nowhere, Jake Shields looked like a winner. And yes, he did, ladies and gentlemen. After struggling in opening seconds of Saturday's Strikeforce main event, 182-pound bout catchweight with Lawler, Shields proved why he has a submission prowess that has made him one of the world's top welterweights by swiftly tapping his hard-hitting opponent prior to the halfway mark of the first round at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis. Shields shot in for a leg early, but Lawler simply muscled his way out of the move. An attempt to trip from a clinch also fell short of its goal, but Shields avoided any damage from Lawler even as Ruthless began to find his pace. Shields then used a series of kicks to the body and a combination to earn another clinch. And with his left arm holding Lawler close, laced his right around the opponent's neck and jumped into a guard position. Lawler's level of discomfort was immediately evident as he tried to slam his way out of the guillotine choke. The escape was unsuccessful, and Lawler tabbed just 2 minutes and 2 seconds into the opening frame. Following this impressive 12th straight win, this time 12 pounds heavier than his preferred welterweight limit, Shields said he was happy with his performance, and he was, ladies and gentlemen. Me and Andy both saw it at the press conference afterward. He was very, very happy with his performance. He said, I first felt Robbie's strength and I was like, oh man, moving up a weight, this is not good. I definitely felt the strength difference, but then I settled in a little bit, got all my games, started getting comfortable on my feet, and I just got a chance to get on his neck. Once I got it, I wasn't going to let go. While Shields showcased his abilities in the 170 pounds, is now defunct Elite XC organization, the Caesar Gracie trained fighter said that after the contest, he would consider moving fully to middleweight for a chance to earn the division's title from
Kung Lee.
So, a man of few words, Lawler said he wouldn't hang his head for long after suffering his first defeat since September of 2006. Here's the funny thing. And we got more. Let me finish this off. I'm just going to go back to the drawing board, said Lawler. I'm going to work on my skills, keep getting better, and still knock people out. Nearly everyone predicted a quick finish from the heavyweight contest between Brett Rogers and former UFC heavyweight champion Andrei Arlovski, but a much smaller portion of the prognosticators envisioned a win for the grim Rogers. But the Minnesota native wasted little time in proving his detractors wrong, patiently waiting through a series of feints from the pit bull before unleashing a series of piston-like power punches. While the first four shots missed their mark, Arlovski retreated straight back before ending up against the cage, where his motion was halted. Rogers' blows found their mark. And yes, they did, ladies and gentlemen. Here are your official results from last night's Strikeforce event in St. Louis. Jake Shields defeated Robbie Lawler via submission guillotine choke in round one. Brett Rogers defeated Andrei Arlovski with what I consider to be one of the biggest upsets of the night. TKO strikes with 22 seconds into the first round. Nick Diaz defeated Scott Smith via submission with a rear naked choke in the third round. Joe Riggs defeated Phil Baroni, and what was told to me, because I didn't get there until a little bit after the Nick Diaz fight, I was told that the Joe Riggs-Phil Baroni fight was just a knockdown dragout. That's what I heard. It was just three rounds of just unbelievable pounding from each of these guys. In fact, pounding so hard that Jake Shields broke both of his hands. Joe Riggs broke both of his hands in his defeat over Phil Baroni. Which is very impressive, because you got to be punching a lot and you got to be punching hard. And if you saw Phil Baroni's head after last night's matches, you could tell that dude took some serious blows to the head. That's all I'm telling you. You ever seen a match? Andy, you've seen a matchbook, you know, when you strike a match too many times and you got the little skid marks all the way across it? That's what Phil Baroni's head looked like last night. Pretty bad. Mike Whitehead defeated Kevin Randleman in Randleman's comeback to the octagon against a guy that I figured that he would be able to take, but Whitehead obviously gets the unanimous decision. And on the preliminary card, Mike Kyle defeated Rafael Cavalcante via TKO strikes in round two. Big wins for all those guys. What was your impressions last night of Strikeforce, Andy, being there live?
I thought it was great.
I thought was a great. I thought it was great also, and just the Shields breaking or Joe Riggs. I keep wanting to say Shields, but Riggs breaking both fists, both hands on Barone.
Oh yeah, dude, it was just nuts. It was crazy. I've never seen somebody take that much punishment from anybody. He was hitting him with lefts, rights, and knees. I mean, Joe Riggs was just, it literally, the third round looked like Joe Riggs versus a punching bag.
Wow.
It did. I mean, no offense to Phil Baroni. Phil Baroni, you're a tough guy, and trust me, dude, you have more heart than I've seen displayed by anybody in a very long time. And, but Joe Riggs just came out on top and just pummeled him.
On top of that, Jake Shields made both of us very happy. We both predicted the Shields would get Lawler.
Yeah, Jake Shields made a lot of people in St. Louis very upset last night because Robbie Lawler, you know, he's the prodigal son of St. Louis coming from Hillsboro, Illinois. And, you know, him and...
Oh, he's
him
from Granite City, though.
Well, yeah. He's actually from California or something, but he trains over to Hit Squad in Granite City with Matt Hughes and everything like that. Robbie Lawler was a hometown favorite. And Jake Shields locked that guillotine in, and that's what I said. I mean, I pretty much predicted the exact thing that he said. He's going to feel Robbie Lawler's punch. He's going to say, I'm not standing up with this guy. He's going to get him to the ground, and he's going to submit him. And that's pretty much exactly what happened, only except he kind of got the guillotine on him while he was standing up. And it was kind of funny because at the press conference he was looking for a nickname, and I said he should probably call himself the Spider Monkey Shields. Because this dude, he was hanging on Lawler like a spider monkey last night.
Man, crazy. Brett Rogers defeated Andre Arlovsky, which was by far, in my opinion, the biggest upset that I saw. And it wasn't so much that... We all know that Arlovsky lost to Fedor pretty heavily. We know that he was coming in off of that fight with Fedor in a very precarious position. It was either he was going to do or he was going to basically make himself look worse. We knew that was going to be the answer. We just didn't expect it to look worse to Brett Rogers. Now, Brett Rogers, at the same point, don't play the guy stupid, guys. He's 10-0, okay?
Yeah, and let's not forget to mention that he's not a light heavyweight. He is a heavy heavyweight.
Yeah,
this guy cuts to come in to weigh at 264, and then he comes back in the cage. He's like Brock Lesnar, basically. And this dude's got the punching power to knock anybody out. And, you know, the reason why the Grim Rogers really didn't surprise me that much is because all through Arlovsky's career, his chin has been kind of suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming off that devastating knockout by Fedor from January, you know, his chin is taking a beating. So as soon as Rogers landed one, and Rogers had a definite height and reach advantage, and that's all it took. He landed one major shot and knocked him down.
Well, it looks like Rogers is going to be going after the heavyweight title for Strikeforce.
Yeah, Alistair Overeem. And, you know, he was actually supposed to get that shot last night. But Alistair Overeem actually had to pull out due to injury. But it's been over a year since he's fought.
So it should be a good fight when it does happen. Because he's fresh. He's ready to go. He hasn't fought in a year. Of course, Rogers has got himself a nice little little build-up coming up to the fight. This could be a great situation. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you give us a call? Were you down at Strikeforce last night? Were you hanging down at the Scott Trade Center? 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. That number again is 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. Here's the situation, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Randy Orton. Tonight is WWE Extreme Rules. You can watch it for free down at, I think it's the Upper Deck.
Yeah,
in
the
South
Upper
County.
Deck down in South County at Lindbergh Industrial Boulevard or something like that.
Yeah, they're going to be showing it for free. Randy Orton prepares for a steel cage match against the Monster Batista.
And, of course, we all know how that's going to turn out.
I hope so. Also, Kimbo Slice, like we said earlier, is officially part of the Ultimate Fighter. We're going to talk about that a little bit because Andy wants to kill me.
And we also have some late-breaking news that broke last night at the Strikeforce event.
Yes.
The match that everyone has been waiting for is going to happen. We'll tell you more about it when we come back.
All right, 314-969-1380. Get on the phones now. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Absolute Wrestling Radio Podcast.
Back to Absolute Wrestling Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, my name is Mark Glenn. That is Andy Echol over there.
Yeah, it sure is.
And tonight, WWE Extreme Rules has five title matches, ladies and gentlemen. Get on the line now, 314-969-1380. That number again is 314-969-1380. Or if you're listening online at team1380.net or worldwide or just on the other side of the river, it's very possible you could be over in Granite City listening to the show. 1-800-491-1380. What's your opinion of Strikeforce? Did you watch it last night? Also, we're going to run down the card for WWE Extreme Rules. Who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's not going to win? I need to hear from the fans of Absolute Wrestling Radio to see what you guys think. Andy,
yes.
Tonight could mark the end of Tommy Dreamer's career in ECW if he fails to win the ECW title.
And that's probably what's going to happen. They'll probably keep him on as a developmental person.
You really think so?
Yeah.
So you think that tonight, we'll start off with that. The ECW Championship triple threat match is between Christian, Tommy Dreamer, and Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger.
Now, you think Swagger or Christian is going to defeat Dreamer, obviously.
I think Christian's going to retain the title, yeah.
You really think so?
Yeah.
I think they're going to actually give it to Dreamer.
You think?
I think they're going to give it to Dreamer before Dreamer decides to retire. I think Dreamer's gotten to the point where he's just kind of been mid-carded so much in ECW, the WWE version of ECW, mm-hmm. that he's gotten to the point where he's just really, really unhappy with his situation, and he's just like, okay, give me my one shot at the title. Let me win the ECW world title for me. Well, you know, and then I'm going to go out on top. I'm going to retire. I'll drop the belt on Monday night or Tuesday night or whatever.
You think?
It's very possible. It's very possible.
I can understand that. I can see that. I can see that happening.
You know,
if he does win it, I agree with you, he'll drop it on Tuesday.
Yeah, just to give it up. You know, not to really run with it for anything major, but, you know. Hey, Intercontinental title, no holds barred match. Chris Jericho versus Rey Mysterio. Who you got, Andy?
Jericho.
You got Jericho. I've got Jericho, too. And the reason why is I just don't like Rey Mysterio, man. I don't think it has anything to do with...
I'm not that big and scary, though. I fly like little Rey Mysterio.
Oh, by the way, on the ECW Championship match, I'm going with Jack Swagger. Swagger.
Super Swagger.
Super Swagger. Give us a call, 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. Join us on Absolute Wrestling Radio. Give us your opinion. Who's going to win these matches? United States Championship Fatal 4-Way match. Kofi Kingston.
Kofi.
Versus MVP. Versus William Regal. Versus Matt Hardy.
Oh, God.
Now let's talk this out a little bit. Kofi obviously is always an option because they just like, for some reason with Kofi, he's one of those guys they just like to give stuff to at the most random times.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just like, here's Kofi. Oh, tonight, Kofi, you're going to win the World Heavyweight title.
Kofi won the title Monday.
The United States, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the world heavyweight. That was an example. They just randomly give him titles at different times in his career.
I don't think they'll ever just hand over the heavyweight title to him. But
MVP's now back kind of into more of a main event type status.
Yeah.
Not so much a mid-card guy anymore, even though this is kind of a mid-card match. They're not really playing him up as a mid-card guy. William Regal, obviously, is always there, but William Regal is one of those guys that he's just a filler now. I think they just put him into fill a spot.
Yeah, fill and... pretty much Teach.
Yeah, filling in Teach. And Matt Hardy, obviously, with the big angle with his brother Jeff and all that, which was really boring on that part.
And he's got the Cowboy Bob Orton thing going for him now. Let's do it. Over under on how long Hardy's got that cast on. I go at least another year.
You think so?
I think it'll be at least WrestleMania 26 before he gets it off.
I don't know if WWE do that again, man.
I think they will. And I'll give the over under 3 months. 3 months prior to or 3 months after WrestleMania is when he'll get it off. Somewhere in that 6 month period.
I have absolutely no idea on that one. I'm thinking that it's a legit situation. I don't think they're just gonna leave it on there. I think it'll be 6 weeks from now and it'll come off.
Yeah, it's probably legit, but dude, it's already been past 6 weeks.
Well, that's a good point.
Because he broke it at WrestleMania.
What do you guys think? 314-969-1380, give us a call. Let us know. 1-800-491-1380. Do you think that our friend Matt Hardy is going to maintain that cast on his arm? The submission match, John Cena, Super Cena.
Super Cena, yay.
Versus The Big Show.
Super.
I'm going to go with John Cena.
Yeah, that's pretty much easy.
Just because I hate dumpy, lumpy, frumpy big dudes. I'm just not big into it. You know, last night, I said something to Andy. Last night at the press conference, we saw Josh Barnett at the Strikeforce press. We saw Fedor. We got to hang out and talk to Fedor.
Yeah, we got
the
team AWR got to hang out with Fedor Emelianenko.
Yes, it was cool. We had a great time talking to Fedor. Actually, Andy even got his press badge signed by both Josh Barnett and Fedor, who are taking each other on here in a few short months.
Affliction Trilogy, August 1st.
That's right. So, but I made the comment to him last night. Josh Barnett just looks like Frankenstein.
He does. You know, honestly,
he just looks
it's
like Frankenstein.
Look, here's the deal, Mark. We hang out at a lot of these local little MMA promotions, Steel Warrior promotions. We hang out, you know, and we go to some other ones too. And we've called
for combat
showcase.
They're just local.
No, they're local amateur MMA shows.
Yeah,
and we've seen the light heavyweights that these guys have. They look like you and me. You know, they're none of them are super cut or anything like that, or super tall. Last night, I walked behind Anderson Silva.
Is that what you're trying to say?
But listen, I walked behind Anderson Silva. I walked behind Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. I walked behind Josh Barnett.
Mark Coleman.
I saw Mark Coleman. I saw Kevin Randleman. These dudes are massive.
And they're cut.
And yeah, cut, well, except for Mike Whitehead. I don't know.
It doesn't even matter. They are massive.
Yeah, they are massive. Except
Josh
for
Barnett.
Fedor.
Yeah,
dude,
Fedor
looks like
us. Like
a regular dude.
He looks like Andy.
But he is the baddest man on the planet, I'm telling you. That dude is a bad, bad man.
And he was very nice. I asked him if he got to see St. Louis at all, and he was like, no, I got here 5 minutes before this thing started, straight from the airport. And I'm like, you got lucky then. You got lucky then. Ha ha, take that, St. Louis. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Mike, welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, bud.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, how are you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Okay, now for tonight, we'll record.
Hold on, I got two more. I got three more matches, and you're going to give me the answer to them.
Mm-mm. Okay.
One more.
No, I got three.
Two.
Samoan strap match, CM Punk versus Umaga. Who you got?
Umaga.
Okay. Miss WrestleMania Hogpen match, Vicky Guerrero versus Santina Marella.
I'll see interference, Beth Phoenix.
Beth Phoenix, interesting call, Mike. I like it. I'm liking it. Ladies and gentlemen, get on the lines. Be like Mike. 314-969-1380. Give us your opinion.
Everybody wants to be like Mike.
World Heavyweight Title Ladder Match. Jeff Hardy versus Edge. Who do you got?
Jeff Hardy's due again.
All right. I got Jeff Hardy too myself. And then, of course, the coup de grace, the championship steel cage match, Extreme Rules match at WWE Extreme Rules. Randy Orton versus the Monster Batista.
Well, see, Batista would win. But I see Triple H coming out of the clear blue and challenging Batista for the belt.
I don't know if I'm going to go there. I think I'm going to go Randy Orton.
Yeah, I'm just going Eli.
I'm going to go Randy Orton because the name Randy Orton comes out of my mouth a lot.
Yeah, Randy Orton.
Take a drink.
Wait.
Take a drink.
Randy Orton.
Take a drink.
Randy Orton.
Take a drink.
Kenny G, I hope you're getting loud, dude. Randy Orton.
Take a drink.
Triple H.
All right. So you're going to take Triple H. All right, so what's going on, Mike? Talk to us, man. What are you thinking about this WWE product? What are you thinking about TNA? What are you thinking about all this?
It's pretty much all the same to me. Now, for TNA, I would still like to see another invasion concerning WWE and TNA, of course, if that's possible.
You'd like to see an invasion, a similar angle as to DX with NWO?
Yes.
And who would you have from TNA invade into WWE or vice versa?
Jeff Jarrett.
You would have Jeff Jarrett invade into WWE.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett and Sting invading WWE.
That's very possible. I don't know about Sting. You know, see, that's the thing about Steve Borton, the guy who plays Sting. And I say the guy who plays Sting because it is a character, okay?
Right.
Sting's a very good worker, but he's been around so long, he's one of those guys that you kind of, he's a go-to guy. Like Ric Flair, like the rest of those guys. And so, like, he doesn't get amped into organizational BS and all stuff like that unless he absolutely is dragged into it.
Well, of course, now, as far as where Vince is concerned, he's pretty much in trustworthy hands with Mick Foley. So I'd probably say Mick Foley would probably get involved somewhere in the middle.
Well, it's very possible. I think it would be more interesting to see the Nation of Violence do an interference angle over into the WWE, an invasion angle.
Mm-hmm.
Very possible.
I think that would be more entertaining.
But they can't because the WWE is going to a G-rated program.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we covered that last week.
Speaking of Randy Orton, ladies and gentlemen, listen to Mike, did you hear that Randy Orton flipped off on a Mexican TV reporter? And then, like, supposedly, he goes off camera and he yells, cut. Like, he was trying to, like, they were trying to, like, play it up. But, dude, the way he looked when he was yelling at that Mexican TV reporter,
right?
I don't think it was a play.
I don't think it was a work. I think that Randy, we all know that Randy, you know, and I'm, you know, I don't know Randy like that anymore. We don't hang out on the day in and day out like we used to.
That's been quite a while ago.
So,
well, now, as far as with Mr. Kennedy being cut.
That's another thing I wanted to ask you about.
Pardon me?
That was another thing I wanted to ask you about, Mike, was Mr. Kennedy being cut. Actually, here's what we're going to do, Mike. Give us your last few. We're going to let you off the line, and then we got some other callers we need to get to. So how about ECW Championship Triple Threat Match, Hardcore Rules, Christian, Tommy Dreamer, or Jack Swagger?
Let's go with the Dream Man himself. He's about due.
Okay, Intercontinental title match. Jericho versus Mysterio. Who you got?
Give the belt back to Jericho. I'm tired of him whining.
All right, what about the championship fatal four-way?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter who's
good. I'm with him on
All
that
right,
one.
Mike,
like
well,
that
thank
one.
You so much for giving us a call on Absolute Wrestling Radio today. We appreciate it, bro.
All right, thanks.
All right, man. Yeah, you know, Randy flipped out on this Mexican TV reporter. I don't think it was worked. They trying to play it off. I think maybe Randy went off. Maybe he realized he did some bad stuff or something like that, and he went off the air and he said, cut. Or something like that. I'm not really going to get involved in it because it really has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
At the same point, it looked a little real to me. And if it wasn't real, then you need to let Randy Orton cut promos like that from now on. Because that was the most realistic looking promo that I've seen cut in quite a long time. Let's go to the phones again. Tyler, what's going on? Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, bud.
I don't think Randy Orton's going to win tonight.
You don't think he's going to win tonight, huh?
No.
Tell us why.
You just don't like Randy Orton, do you?
No.
Well, he's going to win, so.
No, tell us why you think he's not going to win, Tyler.
Because Batista's going to hurt him.
Because Batista's going to hurt him. That's your answer. I like it. I like it a lot. It's very simple. Yeah. It's Occam's razor. It's the simplest answer is usually the most correct. Mm-hmm. And the simplest answer is Batista's a big dude and he's going to hurt Randy Orton, so therefore correct. You might be correct. What do you got any of the other matches you like?
I don't think Jack Swagger's gonna win tonight.
Who do you think's gonna win that one?
Christian.
Yeah.
You think Christian's gonna win that one? All right. Got Jack Swagger on that one.
What about the Intercontinental title matchup between Jericho and Rey Mysterio?
Rey Mysterio?
All right. And what about the Fatal 4-Way match? Kofi Kingston, MVP, William Regal, and Matt Hardy.
Kofi Kingston.
All right. And last but not least, Cena or The Big Show?
Cena.
Cena, for sure. You sounded pretty emphatic about Cena. Are you part of the chain gang?
Yeah.
No,
I love
you're...
Cena. My whole room is done in Cena.
Oh, there That's it is, awesome. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, hey, thanks for calling into Absolute Wrestling Radio today, Tyler.
Okay.
We appreciate
thanks,
it, buddy.
Tyler. Talk to you later, bud.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tyler. We have fans of all ages that call this show,
Absolutely,
Andy.
Absolutely, we do.
There is no reason why you shouldn't let your kids listen to this show. We have a great time, except for when guys like Kenny G decide to show up and try to take over the radio show. That's when it gets a little bit out of control. But regardless of that...
Kenny G's just lucky I didn't throw him out of the window last week.
What we're going to do is we're going to take ourselves a quick break here. When we come back... We're going to talk about Kimbo Slice and The Ultimate Fighter Season 10. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight is WWE Extreme Rules. You can check it out at the Upper Deck.
Yep.
For free. That's down on Limber. Go to Google and search The Upper Deck St. Louis. It's a bar down in South County. And
it's a very cool bar, man. They got a lot of really good stuff.
They got a lot of TVs.
Cool stuff,
They have a lot of TVs. So you guys will enjoy yourselves if you go down there tonight. But we'll be back right here on Absolute Wrestling Radio. Get on the line now, 314-969-1380. We're going to talk some Kimbo. Or 1-800-491-1380. Do you think Kimbo Slice can make it on The Ultimate Fighter? We're going to find out right after this.
This is Kevin Radham, and you listen to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Bland.
I'm Andy Eckel.
And we are bringing you guys what we do every single week, the absolute best in mixed martial arts and professional wrestling talk. And Andy, let's get back into some mixed martial arts. I know that the story that we're getting ready to tackle.
No, actually, this doesn't bother me at all because I don't think it's going to really matter. I think he's going to get pounded.
Well, we're going to talk about it right now. When Elite XC folded months ago, ladies and gentlemen, UFC President Dana White had publicly stated that the only way that Elite XC heavyweight Kimbo Slice would ever get a shot in the UFC was if he wanted to compete as a cast member on the UFC's flagship show, The Ultimate Fighter. Well, according to Kevin Isle of Yahoo.com, that's exactly what's about to happen, and it is exactly what has happened now that we've got some inside information. Dana White has reportedly confirmed that Kimbo will appear as a cast member on the 10th season of Spike TV's The Ultimate Fighter Heavyweight, which is set to begin filming shortly. Actually, it has started filming this week.
Yeah, it started June 1st.
And will feature former UFC light heavyweight champions Quentin Rampage Jackson and Rashad Evans as competing coaches. Now, one big change in the show is that the 16 competitors on the Ultimate Fighter Heavyweights will not have to fight in order to secure a spot in the house like in previous seasons. The move may have been put in to guarantee that Slice will not be forced to fight early and will be able to be kept around to help increase ratings as much as possible. Slice hasn't fought in an MMA competition since the last Elite XC show in October. He was scheduled to face Ken Shamrock in the main event on that card. However, Shamrock was cut during training and was forced out of the bout. Elite XC officials scrambled to find a replacement for Shamrock and ended up choosing relatively unknown Seth Petruzzilli. Petruzzilli then proceeded to knock Kimbo out in front of a record 6.5 million viewers in a matter of seconds, which to this day I completely contend was completely made. And Andy agrees. He didn't take no strong shot to the chin. That dude, it looked like he dived. Like, that was not a strong shot at all. I could have hit Andy with my pinky finger harder than Seth Petruzzilli hit Kimbo, and Andy could have done the same thing.
It doesn't matter. Here's the question. Why would Kimbo take a dive?
I'm not saying that Kimbo necessarily on purposely took a dive. I would say that would be the only way that I could explain that, because that punch wasn't enough. It just wasn't. Either, like I said, when we first had this conversation back in October, when this all first went down in the first place, either Kimbo completely beat himself and he just got stunned and then he got knocked to the ground, like he stunned himself, and then Petruzzilli jumped on top of him and they were like, excitement, 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 break it up, it's over with. No. Or I just didn't see the punch. And maybe the punch was way harder than I thought it was. But dude, Seth Petruzzilli, dude, I've seen Kimbo Slice take some serious shots to the head, dude. I mean, some strong shots for some big dudes. And they never did anything to him. To the point where this dude's punching himself in the face going, come on, do it again. This dude was wearing gloves. This wasn't even bare knuckle. Those were bare knuckle punches I was talking about. This dude was wearing gloves. And that punch to his chin was so weak. I just don't believe it. So here's the thing. Slice is on Ultimate Fighter 10. Now, you had a problem. You said that, you know, Rashad Evans bitched out against Lyoto Machida.
No.
Or not Rampage bitched out. I don't think he did. I think this is why. I think this is it right here. I think this is exactly why he pulled out.
I think if you become a fighter and you're going to do something for something other than the title, then you're in the wrong business, dude.
But I think this is why he did it. He did it because, Dana said, hey, I want you to be one of the coaches.
That doesn't matter. I think one of the guys I was talking to last night hit the nail on the head. I don't think Dana White was expecting Lyoto Machida to win.
You don't think so?
I think he was expecting Rashad to win, and that's why they set this up like that, so that Rampage could get a shot at his title back when they face each other in December.
Now, that might be a possibility, but at the same point.
Point still being, you gotta prepare for everything. If you're going to give Rampage the shot, give Rampage the shot. Don't tell him, oh, you got to go coach the Ultimate Fighter 10. That's what Rampage decided to do. He wants to fight Rashad before he fights Lyoto Machida. And there's guys on the internet sitting there on their little bloggies talking about how that's the smartest thing that Rampage can do. He's the smartest man in MMA. No, probably not, because he gets to see more fights from Lyoto Machida and he can figure out his weaknesses. Here's the deal. It's going to take an extremely strong wrestler.
Fast guy, too. Very fast.
Extremely fast and strong wrestler to beat Lyoto Machida. It's not going to take somebody who wears a big chain around their neck, comes out, howls at the moon, and is a big, slow, dumb version of Rashad Evans. It's not going to take that to beat Lyoto Machida. I'm sorry, Rampage, you're not the smartest man in MMA. You're not a punk by no means, but you did punk out on the title twice.
So how far do you think Kimbo Slice can go in this situation? Honestly.
I think he'll make it to the semifinals or the finals, but the thing is that I think,
what if they didn't have what if they had the situation set up like they normally do, to where you have to you secure your spot?
It's possible where he might not have gotten in the house.
See, and I think people don't give Kimbo enough credit. Here's the thing. And I asked that guy last night too, Andy. I asked that guy last night that we were talking to from Cincinnati.
Yep.
I said, hey, you take away the MMA side of it, straight up glove for glove, boxing for boxing, and I'll take Kimbo Slice any day over the majority of dudes that will step into the UFC ring or into Affliction or any of them. I'll take Kimbo Slice. Do you know why? Because I sat there and watched him beat the out of people. Now, these people were just street enforcers. They were gangbangers, stupid people like that in backyards in Miami and stuff like that. But this dude, he knows how to box. He knows how to fight. He can take a punch to the head. It's when you add in that take him down to the ground, working an ankle, key locks, things like that. It was when you add the MMA side to it, the Kimbo becomes suspect. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then again, everybody always claims all's fair in love and war. A fight's a fight. It doesn't matter how the fight ends, as long as the fight ends and you're winning. Period.
Exactly. So that's why Kimbo doesn't make a good MMA guy. Now, apparently he's been training hard, and it'll be interesting to see. But here's the deal. Dana White has said from the beginning the only way Kimbo's ever getting in the UFC is if he comes on the Ultimate Fighter 10. Now, originally, or the Ultimate Fighter, that's the only way Kimbo's going to get in the UFC. Now, here's the deal. Originally, the Ultimate Fighter 10 was supposed to be heavyweights and middleweights. They cut the middleweight portion out. No one has to fight to get into the house. You know why they did that? So that Kimbo could get into the house. So that Kimbo will stick around and Kimbo's going to get the ratings that they want in order to produce this. Kimbo's going to get a contract with the UFC regardless if he wins or regardless if he loses. It doesn't matter. He's going to get a contract.
And why? That's part of the business.
Why? Because Dana White is not a stupid businessman.
That's right. He's a promoter and promoters need ticket sales. Period.
And he knows, just like Brock Lesnar, he's going to sell the tickets. He's going to sell the pay-per-views based off the dude's name.
Now here's the thing.
Plain and simple.
I think Kimbo Slice is going to do quite well in The Ultimate Fighter. Because the beauty of The Ultimate Fighter is it's a bunch of guys in the same kind of position as Kimbo Slice. Now, in most cases, these guys have more pro bouts under their belt by the time they get into The Ultimate Fighter house. A guy like Steve Berger has like 27 freaking matches under his belt. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Kimbo's kind of a little light on that side of things. At the same point, Kimbo's a big dude. The dude can fight. Whether people like it or not, you're going to see now how good this guy is, because at the end of The Ultimate Fighter, if Kimbo Slice ends up standing tall at the end of The Ultimate Fighter and wins that whole thing, you really can't say nothing about the dude. Now he's actually gone on to the flagship show of the flagship organization in MMA and proved to everybody they got it. Now, we've got some background news that I heard. He's on Team Rampage.
Possibly.
I know. I've heard that he's on Team Rampage, and I heard that Rampage already wants to kill him. Rampage already wants to beat the living piss out of him.
I don't think that's a smart move, Rampage. I'm sorry, but you know, hey.
Yeah, but Rampage's a big dude, and he can throw, too.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that Kimbo would knock Rampage out pretty quick.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. Matt, welcome to Absolute Wrestling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great, sir. What do you think?
Hey, I got to tell you, I'm a huge UFC fan, but I have never watched Ultimate Fighter. I mean, I've caught maybe 5-10 minutes an episode here and there. It's just not my thing, but right. I'm gonna watch if Kimbo's on.
Fair enough.
September 16th, I believe, is the airing date for it on Spike TV.
I don't think, however, that he will last the whole season. I think that they picked the wrong coach for him. There's going to be a big styles clash here. Maybe we'll even get a match out of it if he comes back the following year, Kimbo versus Rampage, but I think you guys are right. He's not going to last. I mean, I just think that there's this styles clash here. These guys, both of them got too big of heads, and it's just not going to work out for them.
Nope.
And that's probably why they put him on Rampage's team, because we know how Rampage is, and we know how Kimbo is. Kimbo is the baddest dude on the internet. And Rampage is one of the baddest dudes in the actual octagon. And the thing is that you can walk around with the big head in the octagon and talk about I'm Rampage Jackson, I drive my Toyo truck and get, you know, held up at gunpoint by police officers on the LA freeway.
Mm-hmm.
At the same point, you could be like, I'm Kimbo Slice. I defend myself in porno videos, and I make sure Street Beat Records and all those guys, they get taken care of, and I'm their enforcer on the streets, and I knock people out in swimming pools. And at the same point, you know, you're going to be like, hey, you come to my swimming pool, I'm going to knock you out. Well, you get into my octagon, I'm going to knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think you're exactly right, Matt. I think eventually what this is going to lead to is that finally you're going to have something that we haven't seen in The Ultimate Fighter. The clash between we've seen clashes between the coach and the rookies before, but they've really never
Hugh
played
Sarah.
But we've never seen it played up real well. No, Hugh Sarah was the coaches against the coaches.
No. That all started when Hughes
was the coach with Sarah. But they didn't play it up like that. They didn't really play up the whole thing too hard until they did the whole Sarah versus Hughes, Team Sarah versus Team Hughes. That's when they really went for it. I think that this is the first time where it's going to come straight out of The Ultimate Fighter that, Kimbo Slice has a problem with Rampage Jackson. They want to take it out in the octagon. It's very possible that's going to happen, Matt.
You know, as much as I dislike Kimbo, the one thing I can give him credit for is he does have the most watched match in MMA history.
There it is.
So
what else do you think, Matt? Anything else?
I got just one ECW prediction.
Sure, go for it.
I don't know if it's going to take place tonight at the pay-per-view. I kind of, for some reason, I still think that Tommy Dreamer is going to win. I think Tommy Dreamer will not only retire as the ECW champion, he will retire as the last ECW champion. I think that Vince McMahon will end ECW in 2009, mostly based on the rating. He's not going to be happy with a 1.0 to 1.3 rating. That's just under WWE standards, and I just don't think Vince is going to stick with it this year.
I think you might be right, and the only problem is that they just re-signed, what was it, last year? like a 3-year extension for ECW.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
yeah, that was last year though, that they signed a
three. On. Maybe they'll change the name, but I think Vince is going to get down on ECW. It's not his creation. It's not going to be part of the WWE universe for very much longer.
Well, I think the problem is Vince killed I think Vince killed ECW. You know, and I'm actually very glad that tonight's pay-per-view is called Extreme Rules, because for the past couple of years, it's been called ECW One Night Stand, and it has been ECW One Night Stand since it was ECW One Night Stand.
Yeah.
You know, when you had Mike Awesome come out and fight, oh, God, who did he fight?
You're talking about
the
Japanese dude.
Yeah, the big Japanese guy.
Tanaka?
Tanaka.
No.
Yeah, it was Tanaka something, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. You're going to kill me. Anyway, Mike, thank you for calling Absolute Wrestling Radio, man. We appreciate it, bro.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Absolute Wrestling Radio rolls on. We got one last thing to talk about, really. I mean, we talked about the Randy Orton flipping dude.
We teased it, so we got to say it. The biggest match, the match that everybody has been waiting for a long time, announced last night, August 15th. Gina Carano is taking on Cyborg Santos.
That's going to be a huge match. That's going to be in August, you said?
Saturday, August 15th, Strikeforce's next event. And that's also where you're going to see Brett Rogers capture the heavyweight title over Alistair Overeem. And that comes 2 short weeks after you're going to see Fedor versus Barnett at Affliction Trilogy. You're also going to see Babalu on that card. Lots of good MMA stuff coming up.
Now, we got a huge story, of course. Evidently, you know, if you haven't been living under a rock, WWE has released Ken Anderson, a.k.a. Mr. Kennedy. And that's a huge, huge blow to WWE. I think that's going to be a huge pickup for TNA. There's really no reason. I mean, people are like, well, why didn't you talk about that? It's a huge story. It is a huge story, except for the fact that I know he's going to land at TNA. All know he's going to land at TNA. He's going to be fine at TNA. So, other than that, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. Tonight is WEC 41. It's the rematch. Palmer Brown.
Oh, yeah. Brown's going to take that one.
I hope so, but I think Palmer might get him, dude.
Nope.
I might get him back. Anyway. Faber versus Brown. That's tonight.
Yep.
Faber
versus Brown. 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Other than that, wow, I guess we got to get out, dude. Damn.
Man,
this show flew by today.
This show flies by every single week. We want to thank Travis for running the board. Thanks to Strikeforce for having me and Andy out last night at their event. We also want to thanks to Fedor Emelianenko for taking time out of his busy schedule to hang out with me and Andy and sign some stuff. Very nice guy. Don't forget to check out AbsoluteWrestlingRadio.com or MissouriWrestlingRevival.com. There you can message us, become our friend, or find up-to-date news and info and see interesting AWR videos. No. We are planning on trying to get an interview with Joe Riggs. You know what I'm saying? Of Strikeforce very soon, as well as a member of the Main Event Mafia in TNA, so stay tuned. And finally, if you want to email us directly, ask us anything, hit us up at AbsoluteWrestling@Yahoo.com.
Oh, we appreciate all the great fans that and realize that you're the reason we do the show each and every week. Please don't be afraid to come up and talk to us if you see us anywhere.
Oh, yeah, dude, definitely. Make sure you guys do that. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mark Bland.
I'm Andy Eckel.
And this has been Absolute Wrestling Radio. We will see you guys next week. Let me kick out the chain.